Hi, everyone, and welcome to Bits Bits, our new little segment where we can discuss cutting-edge games and new things that are happening without waiting for the monthly podcast to talk about them.
Yeah, and of course, we'll still be doing our monthly podcast as well. This is an additional bit of content for you guys, just because.
Yeah, and this time, we have decided to talk about Pokemon Go.
Pokemon!
Because of how...
The Pokey and the Mon and the guy comes... Wait, I can't really do Cosby jokes.
And the Pokey and the Mon.
Pokey and the Mon and the Pokey and the... Yeah.
You gotta do a little bit of Louis Armstrong in there. Like
a little bit of Louis Armstrong in there.
Yep.
But we can't do Cosby anymore, you know, because Cosby is too controversial these days.
He's not a good family man anymore.
That's too bad.
But hey, we still got Pokemon. And we still have Jello. He didn't ruin those things.
He didn't ruin Jello. We have Jello and Pokemon. So, yep. All right. Well, like Chris said, this is going to be a sort of a smaller kind of thing. And today, in particular, we're going to be talking about Pokemon Go. And specifically, Chris will be talking about it because I still have a little flip phone thing that cannot run Pokemon Go or any game. So, technically, this is an interview. I will be interviewing the one and only Chris Seward today.
I feel so honored.
I'm going to hit you with some hard-hitting questions.
Please do. What would you like to know about Pokemon Go, Matthew?
All right, well, for the all two of us in the world that haven't played it or really know what it's about, myself included, give us a brief just run-through of what is Pokemon Go?
Pokemon Go is what would happen if you took Google Maps and you put Pokemon on it.
Huh?
That sounds a little weird, I guess, but... Pokemon Go basically uses a game map that is a reflection of the real world around you. So when you start the game, you get to create your character, and then immediately you see the world around you from like a GPS point of view. So it's like a big map, like a real world map.
Okay, so it's not exactly like you're looking through a camera. It's more like a zoomed out kind of thing.
Right. It's like you're looking down at a map. You see your avatar. Your Pokemon trainer, he's on the middle of the map, he or she, and then as you move through the real world, your character moves.
Okay.
So, unlike in, you know, other games where you control your character with the D-pad or an analog stick, in this game, you're actually controlling the character by your real world movements.
So you're walking forward, but you're also looking at a screen while you're doing it.
Right.
It sounds like it'll have some fun results.
Yeah, actually, there are some
comical results.
Yeah, because on the map, you know, you're seeing all the streets, parks, bodies of water, and buildings all around you in the real world. They're in the map, on the game.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout the world, there are these things called Pokestops, which are little points of interest that you can go to that will give you a few items.
Okay.
It's actually pretty impressive how much real world data is gathered and collected into the game. So pretty much all around you, there will be little things that people have taken a picture of and described and uploaded into the game. It could be anything from a school or a church. It would include a lot of things you probably haven't noticed, like things you've passed by 1,000 times every day that hasn't really stood out to you. But when you play the game, you see that it's a little point of interest and you go, oh, there's a little gazebo over there. Or there's a little, I don't know, a park over there that I didn't know about.
Okay. So it's sort of... In a way, it's a video game that's opening your eyes to the real world.
Yes. And I think that is by far the coolest thing about the game, is that it's really gotten people getting out of the house.
You know, Nintendo's pretty good about that, I've noticed in the past. They got a lot of credit for doing something similar with the original Wii when that came out.
Yeah.
Because they're saying kids are finally getting up and exercising. And then, like, with Wii Fit, that was another kind of... It wasn't as big as the Wii itself, but it was another... thing that people could look at as being good for you overall, you know, a video game that's good for you.
Yeah, it does it pretty well because it can kind of tell if you're in a car. I don't know if that's because of the way the phone bounces around in your pocket when you're running or what, but one of the mechanics in the game, for instance, is you can get Pokemon eggs and then you have an incubator that can hatch them over time. Mm-hmm. But it's not the passage of time that hatches them, it's how many kilometers you've traveled.
Oh, just like in Pokemon Gold and Silver.
I guess so, yeah.
In the RPGs in general.
But that counter doesn't go up when you're driving, so there's probably a way to cheat it, but it's, as far as I can tell, it only works as you're actually walking or jogging or running.
Okay, I like that mechanic because it reminds me of the Play Coins in the 3DS, which are steps, and also the Wii Fit pedometer had something similar where you could... it would count your steps, and then you'd put it into the game, and it would keep track of stuff like that.
I was interested to see that as I looked at the map around me... I was already plotting like a course of that I could go jogging through. I was like, oh, if I go jogging to that park, then I can cross the street and there's another park over there that I could go through and do a big loop and collect all the items and find mm-hmm. some Pokemon along the way. So it, definitely the coolest thing about the game is this social impact it's having that is really getting people to go out in groups of friends and meet other people and look for different Pokemon and look for different stops. And I think that's a really cool thing about the game.
Okay. Yeah, my next question, you started to answer this already, but it's just basically how is it? You know, how is it as a game?
As a game, I think it's kind of weak. As an app, it's cool. As a game, it's kind of lame. I'll clarify that. So a lot of things that you do in Pokemon games are not in Pokemon Go. For instance, you don't actually battle wild Pokemon. They've changed the mechanics of tracking Pokemon down to you have the game map and it has like a sonar like device that has like Pokemon footprints around you where you can kind of figure out if you're getting hot or cold mm-hmm. towards Pokemon. And once you actually find a Pokemon, all you do is throw a Pokeball at it through this kind of timing-based mini game. You just kind of flick it on the phone, and you'll either catch it or not. And if it gets out of the Pokeball, you can throw another one, maybe.
So are Pokeballs like expendable? Like you have a certain number of them?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And
some Pokemon are harder to catch than others. Like some rarer ones, like will break out of the ball more often.
Right. Right.
Okay.
But to my knowledge, nothing affects your chances of catching one except for just you got to throw enough Pokeballs at it because you don't weaken them. You don't there's no technique to make them easier to catch, except there is this little like reticle that gets smaller and smaller. And I think when it's the smallest, you have the best chance of catching it, but they can also run away. So it's not very complicated, though. It's a pretty simple method. Most of the work in catching them is actually tracking them down, which is the game has some potential in this regard. The way that they appear is somewhat based on the environment they're in. I don't know how specific this gets, but at least the idea behind the game is that you know, you catch water Pokemon from places that have like lakes around them and rivers or whatever. You catch grass type Pokemon in fields, and you catch like bug type Pokemon in forests. Like, so
that's pretty neat. So, like, if you want a fire type Pokemon, you'll go to a volcano.
Well,
look inside the crater and find a Magmar or something.
Theoretically, yes.
All right, that's cool.
But I think
you go to a toxic dump and find Grimer.
Right, right.
All right.
Well, from what I've
go wrong with this.
From what I've read, it's a little less extreme than that. Like you go to a hot place and there's fire Pokemon. So like a desert or a beach, even there might be fire Pokemon.
Well, that's pretty cool. I mean, it sounds like they have the foundation for something pretty special in the way that you can actually go out and be a Pokemon catcher, be a Pokemon trainer or whatever they call them.
It is more of a Pokemon catcher in this game, honestly.
Okay.
That's kind of the thing. They've kind of removed a lot of the training elements. At least they're not there yet. Maybe they'll add them at a later date. But since you don't actually battle them in the wild, you also can't battle other trainers.
Oh, okay.
The only battles that happen are gym battles. Gyms exist more sparsely than Pokestops, and basically all they are is the current gym owner's Pokemon remain there for you to fight. So if you go and beat the gym, your Pokemon will stay there for the next person to fight. It's something like that.
So there's a little bit of a competitive aspect to it still.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't personally beaten any gyms. My Pokemon are not strong enough to do that. As you capture Pokemon, so for instance, if you capture 100 Pidgeys, you're going to gain these like, you gain Stardust and you gain like Pidgey upgrade points basically. So as you capture more Pidgeys, you can upgrade a Pidgey to get really powerful.
Okay.
There's not much to do with extra Pidgeys. You just kind of can let them go.
Yeah.
But you can evolve them or you can, if you have a lot of the upgrade points, or you can just upgrade them, like level them up. There's no sort of breeding mini game. The Pokemon don't have genders.
Well, from what you're telling me, it sounds a little bit like this is kind of a different take on Pokemon. You know, it's not supposed to be the next mainline entry or anything, but it's supposed to be something new and different, which I think is pretty cool because, you know, I played through X and Y and it ended up not really doing it for me. Mm-hmm. And I kind of lost interest in Pokemon again because of that. I felt like that the series wasn't really evolving enough. And I'm not saying like Pokemon will be like this from now on, but it does sound like something that's actually really innovative and apparently good for people. Although you mentioned bodies of water, and it reminded me that some people have found other less pleasant bodies.
Oh yeah.
On their travels, there have been at least two people who have stumbled upon a couple of dead bodies while looking for Pokemon. They found something decidedly less pleasant than Pokemon, and some other people have, like, I think someone wrecked their car or something. Which, you know, is never good to use your phone while driving.
No.
You mentioned, like, it could tell when you're driving, so I'm hoping they have some sort of update or something where that just disables people from playing Pokemon Go in the car.
Well, but then what about passengers? It can't tell who's driving. So.
But, I mean, can a passenger, if they're in the car, is there stuff in there? Like, would there be Pokemon inside the car?
You can grab Pokestops as you're driving by if you do it quickly.
Or
you can grab Pokemon as well. So it's doable. Or if you're in a train, for example, you can also do it in a train.
Okay. Well, I was going to say Pokemon Go, you know, this game has really caught on with everybody. This is kind of everyone's talking about it, mm-hmm. which is a little ironic for me because finally everyone's talking about a Nintendo game. I can't play it. So anyway, I heard it was actually the most popular mobile game in history. Based on recent stats, and a few days ago, it said 7% of the U.S. population had played it that day, which is really crazy to me. That's a very large amount of people.
Yeah.
Why do you think it's caught on so much?
Because it's so different. There's two reasons. It's mm-hmm. succeeding on Pokemon nostalgia. So I think the fact that Pokemon is very well known, yeah. and that most people who used to like Pokemon have played, like, you know, the first couple games, and they might not have played it since then. So right now, all the Pokemon in the game, I believe, are Generation 1 Pokemon.
Okay.
They're really cashing in on that nostalgia value because everyone has a smartphone.
Not me.
Well, okay.
Everyone but me.
74%, I believe, of U.S. adults have smartphones. It's a market that is very easy to tap into because so many people who have smartphones used to play Pokemon. It engages players in a way that other games haven't. It actually encourages you to go outside, to pay attention to your surroundings. Most people don't. Most people are on autopilot most of their lives, and they're, you know, going from one thing to the next, and they're not stopping to smell the roses. This game is kind of like forcing you to stop and smell the roses, which I think is actually really cool.
Yeah, that actually answers a question I had coming up for the most part. I was going to ask you, as someone who hasn't played Pokemon in a long time, how well do you think this works as kind of a re-entry into the series? Do you think it's more appealing to newcomers or people like yourself who haven't played it for a while than the average Pokemon game? And you pretty much said, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And it's because of that, because you don't have to, you know, there's not like 700 Pokemon.
Yeah.
Right as you're going in. They recognize the Pokemon, they have nostalgia for it, and it's new and different and accessible.
Yes, because the main aspect of the gameplay is simply you exploring the real world. That's the point of the game. And compared to a traditional Pokemon game in which you're controlling this other character through this fake world and you're having to talk to people and fight monsters and stuff. And
there's a lot of grinding. There's
type
matching, which always kills everything. Or you can just, you know, if you want to get everything, you have to go out and breed things. You got to catch different genders, and there's like too many of them.
Yeah,
been my experience for some of the other more recent Pokemon games,
and that gets all overwhelming, I think, to casual people, especially people who aren't, you know, Pokemon fanatics, will look at a game like that and like go, eh, like I don't want to bother. It seems like a, you know, seems confusing. It seems really difficult or something. Pokemon Go succeeds at really distilling Pokemon into a new experience that is very accessible.
Okay. Well, I have to say, I was not expecting much from this game or Nintendo's foray into the mobile market in general. I was very much against it, as you can hear in our more recent podcast from, what was that, June or May? Amiibos and Anger.
Yeah, that was May, yeah.
Yeah, so, but I do have to admit that this sounds pretty intriguing, and I think it's a cool method to get people to try something new. I think, I kind of wish it was on the 3DS, but I understand that's not that possible.
Unfortunately, because it does require a GPS locator, which doesn't exist in a lot of devices. Like iPods, for example, can technically play the game, but they can download and install the game. But when they try to play it, it doesn't have a GPS, so they can't really do anything in the game.
Right. It relies on some built-in features of advanced features of a phone. So I understand that. Okay. My last question is, 'cause something I'm a little bit hesitant about. I'm a little concerned about. Do you think Nintendo will alter their future plans because of Pokemon Go's success? And is this a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Could it backfire? What do you think?
I think one look at their stock price would lead one to think yes. They are going to follow this up with more in its vein. Their stock price has, what, it went up by like 50% today or something.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a big deal. I have to think that this will influence their future plans. I think that it's slightly concerning because both games so far, their Miitomo and Pokemon Go, both have kind of an unpleasant monetization structure.
Yeah.
You can technically get everything in Pokemon Go for free, but at some point, you run up into some artificial limits the game has in terms of how many items you can have, how many Pokemon you can have, and you can, you know, pay up money to increase those, or you can pay other money to get other items.
Or the alternative is like waiting kind of a while, right?
Yeah, eventually you will end up having to wait a long time to progress in the game. So I'm not on board with that.
Nintendo, I think, is the kind of company that can be a little reactionary sometimes. In some ways. Whenever they hit something big, I feel like they kind of go all in on it. Like when the Wii was a big success, they kind of went all in on the Wii, and it started to alienate some people.
Yeah.
You know? I'm trying to think of another example. They, for a while, they did like the GameCube and Game Boy Advance stuff. They worked on, they kind of focused on connectivity for a while, even though it never really caught on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just hoping they don't overreact to this and start making too many games that are wildly different from their normal like input. But it's probably a little too early to worry about that. I think it's something worth considering, I guess.
Yeah, you know, we haven't seen what they're going to do for the NX. We don't know if they're going to do something that's like a mobile, that incorporates mobile technology into their games. We already know they are bringing out a new Animal Crossing game and a Fire Emblem game, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
So I think the reason Pokemon Go works and that I kind of like it is that it's really something, it's doing something different. Mm-hmm. It's actually giving people a new experience. And at least at the beginning, it's not really oppressive in terms of having to wait for things or having to, I can play it for 5 minutes, but then I run out of, you know, energy juice or whatever, so I can't play anymore for a long time, which other mobile games often do.
Yeah.
So I think it's pretty good at the beginning. I think it's going to be interesting to see how they develop it and where they go with it. For instance, if there is combat with other players in the future, that could be neat. Because I don't think I discussed the combat. The combat is much simpler than traditional Pokemon games. You essentially, it's touch based, so it's real time. So you're essentially tapping the enemy to attack it and dodging left and right to dodge their attacks.
Oh, okay.
And you can charge up a special attack. Type matching is very important to, you know, overcoming enemies that are much stronger than you. And since you see the enemies you're going to fight, you kind of can know what their type is, so you can assemble a team that can take them down.
Okay. So it's pretty simple, but I mean, there's a little bit to it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I think they have an interesting foundation to work from in terms of being a good game. Like, you know, hey, this is a good game that you should play. I'm not sure I would say that, but I think it's an interesting game. I think it's an interesting app.
The social element sounds like is what you really want to check out.
Yeah, I really want to see them develop that more. Like, if they could find some way to make the teams, like, you know, getting into a team with other people and doing things collaboratively, if they had more that actually would incentivize that, I think that could be neat. People are already doing that naturally, but finding ways to capitalize on how people want to incorporate it into their everyday lives and do social things with it, if they do more in that regard, I think it could be really cool.
Okay. Yeah, I think the idea has potential. You know, I think you could even take an idea like this and, I don't know, extend it to like an actual RPG. Like, I'm imagining like a Dragon Quest game where you just go outside and there's a slime and you fight it for EXP.
Yeah.
And, you know, you go on these quests and you have to find stuff. Like, there's a treasure chest behind something, you know, and inside's a new shield or a sword or 500 gold or something.
Yeah.
I could see that idea kind of expanding and and becoming a cultural hit. I mean, it's hard to say if lightning can strike twice with this kind of game, but yeah, from what you told me and from what I've heard, it sounds like Nintendo's doing pretty well for themselves right now.
I think it's actually going to be interesting to see how long the game stays popular. If this is a sort of gimmick that, you know, people get tired of in a few weeks, then I think that would be pretty telling. But if they find a way to keep making the game interesting, keep having people hooked in the experience, then I think that bodes well for the future. It would tell me that they do have a good idea of what they're doing. And I don't think they would do the same thing in terms of like Fire Emblem or Animal Crossing. If they replicate the same sort of gameplay in those games, I think that would be a big mistake. I think they need to find a similarly unique ways to do those games. If they do that, I can't predict what they would be exactly, but Animal Crossing, even if they had a similar like GPS style,
go around and find furniture and animal neighbors and stuff,
pull up weeds and stuff, like, hey, there's a fake weed here.
Fake weed, pulling up fake weeds instead of the real ones that are overgrowing your yard.
Did you know that Pokemon Go was actually developed by a San Francisco company?
No, I didn't know that. Is that the
Niantic?
Niantic. Yeah, I've heard of them. I didn't know anything about them, though.
Yeah, they used to be part of Google. They had a previous title called Ingress, which they actually used the data from Ingress to provide the data for all the real-world points of interest and the map and stuff in Pokemon Go.
Okay.
It took someone that wasn't part of the Pokemon company to make to give the series a step forward.
Of course.
Yeah. Why didn't they call it Gokemon?
Gokemon. Because, wait, I think I know the answer to this. Because that name is terrible. Gokemon. I mean, yeah, I guess they share the long O, but you gotta... You know, I have the same question about Pokemon Monopoly. They've made at least two different versions of Pokemon Monopoly. They never call it Pokemonopoly. No, that I think that works better. It's a before and after. But I think the brand name is just that solid that they really want to have that in there.
Yeah, I guess so.
Gokemon.
It was too similar to Mystical Ninja Goemon.
Goemon, yeah. It's Goemon and Pokemon crossover. At last! The crossover that we all have been begging for. All right, well, thanks for joining us, Chris. I guess that will wrap up our talk on Pokemon Go.
Yeah, it's a good talk.
And thank you, listeners, for joining us in our first edition of Bit of Bits. We'll, as usual, see you next time. I think we'll be August 1st.
Yep.
We'll have our next podcast up. So like us on Facebook. Add us on Twitter. All right, I'm going to stop. I'm not going to do that.
Smell you later.
Smell you later. 'Alright. Sure. We'll see how it goes.
Alrighty. What are you clicking?
I don't want to say.
Are you playing Cookie Clicker?
Maybe.
You're playing Cookie Clicker? Are you serious?
Maybe. You weren't supposed to find out. Not like this. They updated it, Chris. They added new things.
Oh, I haven't played the new version.
Oh, man. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's not good for you.
I got to the apocalypse or whatever on the last one.
Yeah, there have been several of those.
Several apocalypses?
Several of those in my game.
Oh,
several
wow.
Apocalypses. I guess you can't, by definition, have several apocalypses. You can really only have one.
Yeah, if the world doesn't actually end, it's not really an apocalypse, is it?
That's a good point. Cookie Clicker has really given us something to think about. Maybe one day you can interview me on Cookie Clicker and I can be like feeling guilty and sweaty the whole time.
Oh yeah, we could talk about that sometime. I have plenty to say about that too. It's an insidiously designed game. It's actually a perfect example of the like the underhanded exploitative game design tactics that are being done in games these days.
Yeah, I'm just enjoying it ironically.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Sure. All right. Sure. Yeah.